podcasting from Denison, Texas. This is the ministry of the Refuge Church and Pastor Larry Goodwin, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and reconciliation to the greater Texoma community of North Texas and southeastern Oklahoma. Catch us on YouTube, follow us on Facebook, download us on iTunes, but whatever you do, do not miss this word. It could change your life. If you have your Bibles tonight, Genesis chapter 37, and I'm gonna hurry tonight. Are y'all cold in here? Boy, y'all. Here, I got something to tell you. Suck it up. I'm hot. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Just teasing. Man, everybody gets all mad. I sweat whether it's 100 degrees or whether it's 10 degrees in here, so it doesn't matter to me. Whatever y'all are good with. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 10. This is the story of Joseph and his dream, and it says, so he told, thank you for standing, I appreciate that. So he told it to his father, his dream, and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? Joseph had a dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. And he was crazy enough to tell it to them. And when he told it to them, his father asked him a question. He said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? I want to preach to you for just a little bit tonight. I want to talk to you about the place where your dream is birthed. I don't know if that's the exact title I gave Leah, but I gave her something that was kind of close to that. But I want to talk to you about the place where your dream is birthed. I'm going to be taking, December is going to be a powerful month for us here at the Refuge. The next three Sundays, man, I'm going to be taking you through the birth and the greatest thing before Calvary that ever happened to this world. And then for the next three Wednesday nights, I'm going to be talking to you about the power of your dream. And I believe God is going to do something glorious at the Refuge. And so I want you to be here every chance you get this month. And let's go out of 2015 with a bang. How about it? And let's go into 2016 seeing things that God has promised us. You may be seated tonight. Thank you. The season for birthing your dream. I knew I gave her something, but I didn't write it down. So I'm sitting here trying to remember it, and I'm getting old, man. Yeah, it is a state of mind. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, says this. It says that through the foolishness of preaching, for since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God that through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Through the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save souls. For all of you that desire and think you want to preach, just remember, it's the only profession in the Scripture where the people who do it were likened unto fools. Hello. The foolishness of preaching. What I get up here and do week in and week out for many is foolishness. But it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save men's souls. It's through the foolishness of preaching that God has used to break people free from bondages in their life. I have learned through my lifetime, and I'm learning more so all the time, that God will use an on-time word from His Word and from His man or from His woman in that season to set people free and to liberate them, because most people's lives are a direct reflection of what they have heard. And for most people, what they have heard all their life is in stark contrast to what the Word of God intended for them to hear, or for what God wants to say over their life. I don't know how many of you, man, there's something about
I was talking to Hal earlier this week, and I was telling him a few things, and I said, you know, the Scripture says that Jesus told His disciples, He said, except you become as little children, you're not ever going to see the kingdom of heaven. You have to, now think about that Scripture. That doesn't mean that you have to act like a child. We don't want y'all screaming and climbing over everything in here tonight and slapping one another and doing all that other kind of stuff. That's not what it's talking about there. It's not talking about that you have to have a limited understanding, but what it is talking to you about there, there's something about children. Have you ever noticed that children have powerful imaginations? They have. I never knew it if my kids had any of this. They never spoke it out loud. I don't know if they did or didn't. I never heard them say anything. But I know for sure that my niece, she's 21 now, but up until the time she was 6 or 8 years old, she had a make-believe friend, and his name was Deuteronomy. It's the greatest name for a make-believe friend I've ever heard in my life. Deuteronomy. And she would talk to Deuteronomy, and she would set a place at the table for Deuteronomy, and she would bring toys for Deuteronomy, and she played with Deuteronomy. And everybody else, and now then this girl, 21 years old, she's in one of the premier private universities in the state of Oregon, and at the top of her class, I mean, highly, highly, highly intelligent, just a sharp mind, a sharp creative mind. But all of that started in her childhood, and she had this creative imagination. And I was telling Hal earlier this week, I said, I really believe that God's kind of given me an understanding, or maybe it's just for me, maybe it's not for everybody else, but when he was saying, except you become as little children, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. There's the children have the ability to imagine things that you and I gave up on a long time ago. You know, and when you go in kindergarten, they hand the children a piece of paper, and it has an image on it, and they hand them a box of colors, and they tell them to color. And I think it's a shame that we start chiding little children for coloring outside the lines. Because we start telling them from an early age to conform to conventional wisdom and thinking. You give a child a blank piece of paper and tell them to just go and just imagine things. I'll never forget Nate and Renee before they got married. Renee has a little girl, and that little sweetheart, when they gave her a piece of paper and they told her to draw a picture of her family. Y'all don't tell Nate I'm telling this, but they told her to draw a picture of her new family, and she drew her mommy, she drew her, she drew the cat, and she drew Nate. And she made Nate pink. And when she showed the picture to Nate, he thought the pink one was mommy. And he said, oh, there's your mommy. She said, no, that's you. Yeah. Her imagination was not confined to our conventional wisdom that blue is boys, pink is girls. She loves Nate. She saw a pretty color that she liked, and she wanted to make him the pretty color that she liked. And it was drawing out a picture that was in her head. Now listen to me. I believe that that's what God was telling us when Jesus said that, because I believe that some of us have gotten so stifled in our creativity and in our imaginations that we can't believe anything outside our legalistic lines of religion. And if it doesn't fall inside the lines that we have always been told and taught, then we don't have any use for it. We can't see it. We don't understand it. And Jesus said, man, if you guys don't open up the creative ability of your minds and begin to imagine some things that you have yet to see, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. Never. Never, 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 never. I believe tonight that dreams are the blueprints that God uses to shape my life and to shape your life. I told you Sunday that there's power in words. I know you didn't need me to tell you that. I know you've heard that, but I said that on Sunday, that there's power in words. That's why you and I need to remain open to hearing from God through His Word. That's why we need to remain open to hearing from God through other people, because words create pictures, and when God speaks to you, you begin to get a mental picture of what it is that God wants to produce in your life. I'm going to tell you something. Here a while back, when Jay was here, I know I keep referring to this and you are tired of it, but it's okay. It's my story and I'm not tired of it. So I'm just going to keep talking about it because it's created a mental picture in my mind. When he stood here and he looked at me and he told me, man, you're going to be laboring, but it's going to be so much fun that you're not even going to realize that it's labor. Man, I latched onto that. I began to think in my mind what fun looked like. And then I begin to try to birth that into my life because I'm tired of pastoring mad, and I'm tired of pastoring churches stressed and stuffy and starchy and all the... I want to pastor this thing where I can tell you, turn to your neighbor and give them a hug and tell them that's from Larry. I want to enjoy what I'm doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I began to latch onto that because when he spoke that, it created a picture in my mind, and I didn't see myself sitting behind a desk somewhere speaking in these and thous. I saw myself enjoying the call that God has placed upon my life. Because when God speaks to you, you start getting this mental picture. Now, I realize that many in the church culture don't want to talk about the reality of the supernatural. And because of that, the people who have the audacity to believe God and believe that He has a dream and a vision and a purpose for their life, those people are often the object of ridicule and scorn. Because we live in a religious society that doesn't want to recognize supernatural. Anything supernatural is weird. And let me just lay blame on some people in churches. Because there are some people that take the supernatural and make it weird. Because people abuse anything. Amen? Drugs aren't the only thing that get abused. People abuse anything. People abuse good things. And they've taken supernatural and they've abused it and made it weird. And because they don't know how to operate it, and because they haven't read the scripture that the Spirit is subject to the prophet, they go out of their mind and then they say, I couldn't help it. Like they're barking like a dog and they're saying they can't help. Yeah, you can. Shut up. Stop doing that. Just stop doing that. Don't do that. You're in control of your vessel. You know, don't be crazy. Don't get weird. That's, you know, but because a few people have taken it and made it weird, then all of a sudden we've created this culture in churches to where nothing can happen that's supernatural, because, man, if it gets in the supernatural, it's all weird stuff. It is not all weird stuff. There's powerful things that happen in the supernatural. I want to be open to that. I want you to be open to that. I want this church to be a church where the supernatural is not ridiculed and scorned, but I want you to understand that outside of this church, if you start talking about some things that God is speaking into your spirit, there might be some people that laugh at you. See, we live in a society that by and large refuses to celebrate a dream until it becomes successful. Nobody talking to me in here. But Steve, there are dreams in this building that haven't been birthed yet. And there are things in people's heart that they're scared to tell other people because they know that to speak it out loud, it sounds outlandish. And so they kind of hold on to it quietly, and they wait and wait and wait, and they hope that it comes to pass, because we live in this culture that will celebrate a dream if it becomes successful. Do you know that society and church, most assuredly, people in church are crabby. Not this church, but people are crabby. You don't listen. When you get around most churches, you don't need a lid on the pot. Because any time a crab's trying to get out of the pot, there's another one down there that reaches up and pulls him back down. That's how crabs behave. You don't need a lid on a pot of crab. They'll just keep pulling each other down and can't nobody get out of the pot, because if I can't get out, you're not going to get out. And that's the way church people do. If I can't dream, you're not going to dream. If I don't believe, then you're not going to believe. If it's not for me, then it's not for you. And we keep... See, that's why you never have to worry about wildfire spreading in the church, because there's too many wet blankets for wildfire to spread. But I want to be a part of something that allows me to dream. This is what I've learned about ministry. No matter what you do, you're always going to have critics. Rick Warren, who pastors Saddleback Church out in California, he said this in one of his books. He said, when you're small, people will dismiss you. When you start growing, they will criticize you. And when you become large, they will resent you. So ignore them and get on with whatever God has told you to do. I think that's the motto that we ought to adopt for every single person in this room. No matter what you do, you're going to be criticized from somebody who don't want you to rise above the status quo. But you don't need to worry about them. You just need to go on and do what God has told you to do. We have a hard time celebrating anything that's outside our norm. That's why you have churches where there's still only one skin color tolerated. They may not say it, but they'd prefer it. Because we don't like stuff that pushes our norms. Woo, Larry. Woo. Like crazy stuff. You know, to each his own. Everybody just needs to stay with their... Because they worship different than what we do. What is that? That's exactly what that is. Man, they ought to be... Listen, there ought to be room at the refuge to where if you want to come up and shine my shoes while I'm preaching... Bring it on, baby. If you want to sit there and be quiet and just bow your head, bring it on, baby. However you choose to express yourself in worship, it shouldn't be a place where it's only one way and my way or no way at all. You shouldn't live your life in those confines where you don't ever celebrate anything outside of your norm. Tell you what, man, when I first got into Rosanna's family, listen, her family is still upset about that. I was the first gringo. And that's what my brother-in-law called me when I... Here's the gringo. And man, when I first got into their family, things were different, man. I did my niece's wedding a year or so ago, her confirmation for her wedding, and my brother-in-law actually stood up at the reception, gave a speech, and toasted me and gave me an apology for making it hard all them years ago. Because, see, I was the first gringo. But now then, he has two daughters. One daughter is married to an Iranian, and the other daughter is married to a Japanese man. You're talking about cultural diversity. Hallelujah. We don't know what to do at Christmas. Come on now. Huh? And I started all that mess, and they still blaming me for all that. But I tell you, it was a different world. Man, my family, we always did Christmas a certain way. But when I got into another family, if I wanted to celebrate, I had to learn how to celebrate like they celebrate. Or I had to pout in the corner. And I realized real quick that pouting in the corner when you don't drink is not much fun. Hello? So you got to learn how to celebrate like they celebrate. You have to learn how to do it on their time. You have to, we always woke up on Christmas morning and opened gifts. They always stayed up till midnight on Christmas Eve and opened gifts. So you know what I did? On Christmas Eve, when I got up that morning, I was just up all the way till Christmas morning. Because I had to go to her house and I wasn't missing Santa at my house. Come on, somebody. But I had to learn how to operate within a different set of circumstances. I'm gonna give some people here at the Refuge some hope and some inspiration tonight, I hope. Because someone told me not too long ago that balanced people never take new territory. I'm going to let it sink in. Balanced people never take new territory. Work with me here, people. What's the opposite of balanced? Woo! Some people ought to have hope in here tonight, because if it's only unbalanced people that take new territory, there's a whole lot of territory getting taken here at the Refuge. Somebody say amen. I don't understand that. Well, listen, pioneers are for the most part imbalanced. Think about it. Lewis and Clark had to be a little off. They had to be. I've gone to some of the places that they discovered. I got there on paved roads. For them to have gotten there the way they did, something was wrong with them. Rosanna refuses to let me drive up a mountain in a good sound car. I can't imagine following a donkey up a mountain. And through areas that I didn't know and not knowing what was next. But because of Lewis and Clark, Dwayne and Robin have a great place to go live. They don't have to do the discovery. They just get to go settle in that place. You understand what I'm saying? Pioneers are imbalanced. It's the settlers that bring balance to the pioneer's life. But it takes somebody willing to go out and not know exactly what's going to happen in order to gain new territory. Let me tell you, Refuge, I believe that God has placed us in this city to break new ground and to gain new territory. There will be people. Don't worry about us getting out of balance. There will be settlers that will come in and balance the ship. But right now is our time to have a pioneer spirit and go out and possess our dream, and let this be the season for birthing things that God has put in us. You okay? See, there's great potential here at the Refuge to go boldly where few have ever gone. I believe that we're pioneers. I believe that. You don't see this too often. Take a minute and look around. Yeah. There's people from all different backgrounds here. All different makeups here. Remember when one finger's pointing out, four are pointing back at you. Pointing out all the imbalanced people in there. She can't even walk straight. What are you talking about? Right here. Man, all around this building tonight are treasure fields. Man, this building right now, let me tell you, I literally have glory goosebumps on me right now. Because all in this building right now, not full on a Sunday, right now, this building is so wealthy right now. There is wealth in this room. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about this building is rich with potential right now. And my job, I'm telling you, my job, what God has told me that I'm supposed to do is to tell you and to remind you that there are things in you that you haven't even tapped into yet. But we're in the season for birthing some of your dreams. Listen. Larry, this is just Denison. And there's nothing of value or worth here. It'll always be what it's always been. I had a guy come work on my air conditioner at home here a few months ago. I had a capacitor or something that went out on it. He came and replaced it. And I'm standing out in the yard talking to him. And he started telling me how long he'd been in Denison. And he said, I tell you what, when I was a little boy, this town had 22,000 people. It's got 22,000 people now. 22,000 people are all this town's ever going to have. It ain't never going to grow. It ain't never going to do nothing. And I'm just thinking, hurry up and fix my air conditioner because I gotta mow that patch of negativity where you're standing right there. I gotta get rid of that piece of negative ground standing in my yard right there right now. Because here's what I'm telling you. You say this is a no place. This is a no good place. There's not anything that can happen here. But let me tell you, I want to tell you that the Bible says that they also said that about a place called Nazareth, that no good thing could ever come from a place called Nazareth. But the world has never been the same because a young virgin named Mary from Nazareth chose to believe and affirm and accept a word that had never been given before and something that had never been seen before. She said, I'll be the dreamer. If you want me to dream, God, I'll dream and I'll accept your word. And because one person was willing to accept that, the world has never been the same. Don't tell me nothing good can happen here. I believe that there are some people here tonight who are tired of circling the same old mountains and seeing the same old things. And you're ready for new direction. And you're ready for new territory. And you're willing to go where you've never been. And you're willing to do what you've never done. Even if it means other people laugh at you and ask you, what's this dream that you're dreaming? What is this dream that you're dreaming? I'm telling you, Lord, just let me stay in my notes. Hallelujah. See, all this church and this city need is one person, one, who will not be ashamed to be impregnated by a word from God. And I'm not talking about a word that you can make come to pass. I'm talking about a word that only He can make come to pass. See, if Mary had been ashamed to be the vessel, we might not have what we have right now. But because there was a young virgin, never been with a man, but was willing to say yes to something that made no sense to her mind. Some of you are thinking about things right now, thinking about areas you want to serve in, thinking about ministries you want to start, thinking about ways that you want to impact other people's lives, and you're thinking, what I'm thinking is crazy. But if you will give God permission to allow your mind to expand and dream, you might just see the fulfillment of something you've never thought could happen in your life before. Many of you I know saw this today, but this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. I know you saw it because I put it on my page today, but I'm driving my school bus route today, and I make a corner, and I turn off of Fannin Street onto Atchison Street, and I see a crowd of people waiting up there where my bus stops, and I'm looking in my mirror because I'm thinking, man, I already got a load. And that's a whole bunch of those people standing up there. And some of them kind of looked too big to be going to school. And I crept up on it. And when I got up there, it's the corner of Atchison and Rusk where Calvary Baptist Church is. And standing out on the corner of Calvary Baptist Church was their pastor and three other people from their church. And they had a big old jug, one of those water jug things. And they had a sign out there. And it said, free hot chocolate. And they were giving hot chocolate to every child that stepped on the bus that morning. And they were giving hot chocolate away to people that were driving by. And they were just standing out there. They didn't have signs that said, we hate fags. They didn't have a sign out there that said, we hate Muslims. Everybody's going to hell. They didn't have any of that. And I tell you something else. They didn't have a Bible out there. They weren't beating people in the head with a Bible. They weren't down on their knees. Oh, God, deliver Denison now. You know what they were doing? They were giving hugs and hot chocolate. And you know what? Some young people, probably Mary's age, got on my bus. And here's what some young people said as they got on my bus. Because I told them, get out of the way. I got to get off and shake a hand. And I got off and I shook the hand and I said, this is the most awesome thing that I have seen in a very long time. And I want to, and you know what? I didn't drop my name and I didn't drop my card. All they knew is I was just a bus driver getting off the bus, shaking hands and getting a free hot chocolate. But this is the most awesome thing that I have seen in a while, and I want you to know that it's being noticed. That's what I told them. And I climb back on my bus, and I drink my hot chocolate. It's not on my eating plan, but I drink it. And I drank it with a merry heart because I thought, I just met Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I just met Jesus today. I ran into Jesus today. Right here in Denison, Texas, I ran into Jesus. I saw Him in living, breathing color. And we can be that. You can be that. There's something in you that God wants to touch other people with. Man, I feel too good to... All you need is a word from God. Woo! Man, there's a lot of spiritual things that happen on school buses. There are. I rode with Hal on Monday. Man, that's spiritual in and of itself because you got to pray, man. Man. Listen, there's not a safer driver anywhere than Hal. When they said I was riding with him Monday, I said, look, dude, I got to be somewhere at 7:30. You're going to have to step this up. But I got on the bus with Hal and we started talking. Man, we started talking about things. And Hal began to just kind of tell me some things. And I told Hal this. I said, man, Hal. I said, do you remember when God spoke to you here a few weeks ago and He talked about... I told... Is this okay if I tell him what I told... I told Hal, I said, listen to me, man. I said, I really believe God wants you to know that your wit and your creative imagination, because let me tell you something. When it comes to creativity and thinking outside the box, Hal's never seen a box. His mind is incredible. Seriously, he has an incredible, incredible mind. I've watched how... I haven't been there. I've heard him tell the story of how he would see something on YouTube played on guitar. And just from watching it on YouTube, he would sit there and work with it until he replicated it. I saw him stand here with, in my opinion, what is one of the most premier guitar players in the world, David Huff. And I watched Hal stand here and ask him a question, and he showed Hal, probably took 2 minutes to show Hal something. And the next thing I know, Hal's doing that. And I'm like, you're stupid, man. Like, you're stupid smart, man. That's crazy. Got to create this creative mind and ability that is... wild. And I told him, I said, Hal, listen to me. I said, I really believe God wants you to know that it's your from your creative imagination, that is where your ministry is going to flow from. That's where your ministry is going to flow from. And then he just kind of, he gave me that look that he gave the other night. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm starting to believe that. Because the other day, I was at home just picking around on the guitar, and I was thinking about a psalm in the Bible, psalm. And he said, I started putting a tune to the words of a psalm. And then Hal said this. He said, hey, wait a minute. You know that guy at church, Eric? Yeah, I know Eric. Didn't he say he was going to be a writer? That's what he said. You think Eric would write me some words to the tune that I'm coming up with? And I said, I'm not Eric, but I'll ask him for you. So, Eric, I just need to... Listen. And I told Hal, listen, I know y'all think we're weird, and I'm telling you my dreams, and so you can laugh at me because I don't mind being laughed at. But here's what I'm telling you. I told Hal, I said, can you imagine what it's going to be like when brand new, creative, never before sang music anywhere in the world begins to come out of this house because you begin to lend yourself to... You say, Larry, that's crazy. It is not crazy.
It's not crazy. Man, God doesn't want to rewire you and give you a completely new personality and give you all new likes and desires. He wants to take the things you like and tweak them and make them His. Am I doing any good here? I have to quit. I wonder if there are any dreamers in the house here tonight. I believe I'm sitting on a powder keg of a movement in our community that cannot be explained but will not be denied. And we will receive and we will recover all that God has for us. But in order to take new territory, you've got to be willing to live with a compass instead of a roadmap. Roadmaps take you where other people have already been. A compass is used in uncharted places. Compasses require flexibility. To walk and move by a compass, you have to be willing to make adjustments. Come on. Ain't that right, Mr. Hunter? Mr. Deer Slayer, Hunter Man. I know you probably go now places where you've always been, but like when you first find a new place to hunt, man, you got to know your direction. You still carry compass. And you can be walking. Man, I know this is true. I've done this a few times when I was a kid. Be walking out in the woods and think I'm walking a straight line. And I'm not walking a straight line at all. And I get somewhere and can't remember. Man, that don't look like nothing I've seen. Hello? And I know the lake is over there, but why am I headed over here? And I wouldn't have a compass. What I began to learn and understand was that, you know, if you want to go north, you can start walking. You might put the compass in your pocket, but every once in a while, you got to pull the compass out and recalibrate. Because you might have veered off a little bit, but if you have a compass, it'll put you back in the direction that you're supposed to be headed. Making any sense? See, to grow spiritually, you have to be willing to make adjustments. We come from all different kind of backgrounds in here. I've already told you my story, but if I hadn't been willing to make adjustments in my spirit life, I wouldn't even know many of you here. If you aren't willing to make adjustments in your spirit life, you might miss out on some things God has for you. See, some of us are so rigid in our beliefs that we're not open to anything outside of our set parameters. But let me give you prophesy to you. Here is a word you can count on. The only thing that's in this world to stay is change. I hate to shower on everybody's parade, but quit longing for the good old days. This is not good English, but they ain't coming back. And while you spend all your time longing for what was, you miss out on embracing what is and how you can live and be effective right now. Well, I wish we could just all go back to long hair and long skirts and sawdust on the floor and women were women and men were men and everybody knew their place. Come on, man. That horse is out of the stall, man. Hello? Come on, man. I mean, my goodness. If you're so... You're going to miss out on what God is doing. Man, I grew up in an era where women couldn't do anything in church except teach babies in Sunday school. I looked around at leadership meeting the other night and staff meeting, and we have more women on our team than we do men. I don't know what that... Forgive the imbalanced one. She's a... Listen, there's a place for everybody in the kingdom of God. Amen? Come on, people. Stay with me. I got to hurry. See, so change is the only thing that's here to stay. That's why many times... Write this down if you need to. I'm getting close. But that's why many times failure becomes the womb of success. Because when you get tired of walking the same roads that lead to the same dead ends on life's roadmap, you'll throw away the roadmap and you'll grab a compass and you'll say, point me in the right direction, God, for change in my life. I may not know what is between here and there and how it's all going to happen, but I know this is the direction that I'm supposed to be going in, and I'm dreaming of something better, and I'm sick and I'm tired of tolerating things that get me nowhere. I'm sick and tired of tolerating what has no power to take me anywhere. And here's what I want to tell you as I wind down here tonight. I want to give you these last few things. But number one, don't live in regret. Do not live in regret. Get up and close the gap between what you know and what you're doing. If you know that God has put a dream in your heart and it hasn't been birthed yet, then get up and close the gap between what you know and what is happening in your life. How do I do that, Larry? Somebody asked me the other day, I'm trying to hear. They said, I'm trying to hear from God, but I'm just not able to hear from Him right now. But this is the last thing I heard from Him. I said, then keep doing the last thing you heard from Him. Because if you go back to the last word you have and stay obedient to that word, then the next word will come. I am teaching real good tonight. Don't live in regret. It may be time to change your wineskin. New assignments require realignments, internally and externally. Listen to me. You got to start running with people who are running in the same direction as you're running. Stop saying that I can't. My dad in his good old Arkansas vernacular used to tell me, can't never could do nothing. I hated that when he told me that. And he said it just like that. Can't never could do nothing. And I was like, ooh, I hate that. But you know what? It got me to where I stopped saying the word can't around him. Can't never could do nothing. Can't never could do nothing. Can't never could do nothing. And I got to where I wouldn't say the word can't around him because I didn't want to hear that. I'm telling you tonight, stop saying I cannot. Stop saying that I'm doing all I can and I'm doing the best that I can. I want to tell you, I'm going to make you mad right here, but it's not true. It's not true. And I'm going to give you real life example because very few of us are doing all we can. We're just doing all we will. My trainer told me, and I have witnesses in here tonight, but my trainer told me last night as he's in my face, and I'm sweating, and I'm tired, and I don't have any energy, and I don't want to be there, and I don't want to be doing what he's telling me to do, and he is telling me that we're going to do this. He is telling me that I'm going to learn how to make my mind control my body rather than my body control my mind. And he told me last night that he said, you got to take control of it, because he said, at the first sign of discomfort, your body is going to scream that I'm done, and there's nothing left, and I don't have anything left. But he said, there is strength in you that you've never tapped into, and that's where I want you to go tonight. So listen, so he's in my face, and I am audibly saying this out loud, and Rosanna is here to testify. I am groaning and grunting, and I am screaming, I hate Randy. I hate Randy. I hate Randy. But the whole time I'm saying I hate Randy, I am simultaneously doing what I said I didn't have the energy left to do, because my mind began to control my body rather than my body controlling my mind, and I found strength that I didn't know I have. It's the same in the spirit. You got to stop saying you can't and you won't. Get up and do what is in you to do. I should have preached this on Sunday. Listen, man, you haven't received everything yet. You may have received all you want, but you haven't received everything. There's more to give. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you power to possess your dream. Because I believe that we are in the season where dreams are birthed. Don't live in regret. Don't live in retreat. Quit backing up. And don't live in reserve. Don't live in regret. Don't live in retreat. Quit backing up from people who don't want to hear about your dream. Find new friends. And if your husband or wife don't want to hear your dream, don't find a new husband or wife. Just hold on to it and pray. Hello? Just hold on to it. Hold on to it and pray. Believe God. Get around some people that believe in your dream. Let them speak confidence into you. And then don't go home and beat your husband or wife over the head with your dream. Just keep living until your dream is birthed. But don't live in reserve. Paul said in 2 Timothy, can you get that scripture for me, Leah? 2 Timothy 4 and 6. Paul's about to die here. He said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Is Josh acting up over there? You go, big boy. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. He's way out the box. Paul said, I'm like a drink offering poured out. My departure is already at hand. In other words, what Paul was saying, the end of my life is here and I'm empty. I am not going to my grave full. Jason, let me tell you something. Don't die full. There is so much in you. When it comes your time to go, go empty. Go empty. Everything that's in you, let God pour it out of you. Don't live in reserve. Don't say, I'm going to hold a little back in case of this, in case of that, in case. No, pour it out. Because God has great things in your life. Somebody told me on Monday, I shared this with them already, but somebody told me on Monday, they said, you know that couple? And I'm like, wait a minute, let me get my Jesus hat on. Got the mind of Christ. Let me tell me which one it is. And then they explained a little more. Yeah, Oh, yeah. I know that couple. They said, this is what I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you this to encourage you. Because this person told me, they said, to me, that couple is a picture. We're talking about pictures. They said, that couple is a picture of the transformation that you've been preaching to us about. He said, everything about them has changed. Everything about, and you know what it is? What happened is the inside changed. And now it's beginning to glow and reflect on the outside. And what only they were aware of in the beginning, other people are becoming aware of now because there's a transformation that has taken place. So don't die full. Because He didn't do all of that in you guys' life for you to hang on to and keep to yourself. Because there are other people out there that were in the same place that you were in when you came here that you need to turn around and grab a hold of and say, let us pour ourselves into you. Because what's happened to us can happen to you. Listen, no matter how big your dreams are, they'll remain unproductive until they're birthed. So every dream needs a carrier. I'm closing. Stand with me. Every dream needs a carrier. And I'm going to tell you something. God does not incubate greatness in organizations. God incubates greatness in people. And then He develops the person so that the person can complete the plan that He has for their life. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Do you hear that? Every dream needs a carrier. God needed Mary to get the dream of Jesus into the earth. Every dream needs a carrier. And the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro at the refuge, looking for somebody that He can completely and strongly support, whose heart is completely His. If you want to be a carrier of a dream, you've got to learn to guard your heart. Samson was called and Samson was powerful. But Samson had an unguarded heart. And because he refused to guard his heart, he gave away his dream to someone who wanted to do him harm. And when he gave away his dream, she cut him from the source of his power. I want to say this to every person in here. Hear me tonight. Don't give your dreams to people who don't have your heart. Guard your heart. Don't put everything on Facebook. Man, sometimes listen to me. I'm going to make people mad, I know. But when I see single girls on Facebook posting all these things about what they want in a man, and you know what you're doing? You're putting out to the world your heart. And there are people that are reading that who have no intention but to harm you and to get next to you for what they can get out of you. And that's what you're attracting into your life. Don't tell your dreams to everybody. Be selective. Because not everybody has your heart. Man, am I preaching good or what? When you get delighted with God, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. When you get delighted with God, you know what happens when you get delighted with God? He gets delighted with you. And He does an overhaul on your wanter. Hello? He said, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires or the wants of your heart. But when you give Him your heart and you delight in Him, your wants change. And what ends up happening is, because your wanter gets an overhaul, your wants, almost without you knowing it, become His wants. And because you have gotten so delighted in Him, He delights in giving you your dream. I pray that as we move through the month of December, that presents on Christmas Day are not the only thing that some of you open, but that this would be the month that some of you begin to unwrap your dream and see God go to work in your life like you never have seen Him before. Thank you for joining us for the podcast ministry of The Refuge and Pastor Larry Goodwin. We are a safe place to belong as you strengthen yourself in God on the way to your destiny. Podcast theme music provided by podcastthemes.com.